I welcome everybody to the city council meeting Monday, April 27, 2015, 7 p.m. Four Acres. First line of business, roll call.
Nancy Schnell, present.
Bill Moyer, here.
Bob Barker, present.
Rick Moses, present.
Richard Adams, present.
Mark Weaver, present.
Thank you, Alderman. Second line of business, pledge allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag, where it was originally conceived, one nation under God, one indivisible.
Item 3.0, special presentations. At this time, there will be no special presentations at this time. Item 4.0, approval of minutes. 4.1, regular council meeting, April 13, 2015. Council's at time to look there on entertainment.
Second.
Thank you, sir. Any questions to council on the minutes? If none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Against? Ayes have it. Item 5.0, council clerk's request. Item 5.1, mayor comments. Meetings attended. I've had numerous meetings over the last few weeks. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to attend the last council meeting due to an illness, but I've been meeting with a lot of the DOT people. Now, this is something that actually is not a city affair. To a certain degree, it is, and to a certain degree, it isn't. But just to give the folks notice that basically we're having a town hall meeting on the 6th of May to discuss all the questions that were asked at the first town hall meeting over the sound wall. It will be only on the sound wall, and that's it. It will be held at the Houston Yacht Club at 6 p.m. Is that correct, David? 6 p.m. For all those that would like to attend. We were going to have the district engineer along with a few other people that are going to be there with the DOT. DOT has made great strides in trying to fix the problems that are out there at this time now, basically from housekeeping and some other issues that are going on. So that's one thing that's going on in the city right now that we have that. We also have them looking at a traffic light. I put in for notification for a traffic light at 0146 in Short Acres Boulevard. They have district engineers evaluating that one. We also have them evaluating the situation on the feeder road going northbound 146. There's really no area to get onto the main road. And in the mornings, I don't know if people are going to work. I know myself, at 6 o'clock in the morning, 7 o'clock in the morning, you have to drive 90 miles an hour to get up on that feeder without getting hit. I've asked them to look at that to see if there's a way they can extend a drive on up that area. So we're looking at that. They also have a crew looking at engineering, when I say crew engineers, evaluating the situation at Bayou Forest. Over the years, we've had a lot of flooding in that area. They're looking at numerous different areas in that area. So just to give the folks a heads up what's going on. And with that being said, that's all the meetings I've attended and folks I've talked to. We're going to move on to item 6.0, public hearings and public comments. 6.1, public comments. This is the opportunity for the public to address the council and comment on items which appear on the agenda. There is time. Time is limited to 5 minutes per speaker. Comments are directed to the city council. A dialogue with the audience is not permitted. Council members are prohibited by law participating in discussion deliberations of items specified and identified on this agenda. With that being said, I'm going to start to the right, work my way to the left. Okay. Set up the podium, give some answers.
Dio Jennings, 1017 West Forest Avenue. Three items on the agenda tonight. First, item 8.2, pertaining to voluntary contributions. I brought that up at the last meeting. And the statement by the city administrator was basically that he and the former mayor had decided not to do it after a discussion with their vendor. Said that he couldn't, or they couldn't do it. I would suggest that the council look into getting a new vendor for that. That's such a simple item to do that any credible vendor should be able to do that. And it's actually much easier to do it on a recurring basis than I believe the administrator said that they could do it on a quarterly basis, but they still couldn't do that. In any case, it shouldn't have been a unilateral decision. It should have come back to council. Item 8.3, there is a looks like some administrative corrections replacing clerk with the secretary, but also in addition, I don't remember the specific wording, but it basically says that council members cannot send electronic messages during the meeting or something like that. Almost always these kind of things are used by the majority to oppress minority opposition, almost always. I'm reminded of Nancy Pelosi when she was Speaker of the House and Republicans were very effective. She shut down all communications. Representative John Culberson snuck a BlackBerry in and tweeted, and it changed the entire debate. So almost all of these things are used to do that. Also, San Francisco City Council Mayor Gavin Newsom did the same thing in their city. And second thing is that the wording is too broad and too vague, and will leave the council or the city open to litigation. For example, if you have a new watch, they can communicate your vital signs to an external company. By the way this is worded, that'd be illegal. And so it's just too broad and too vague. And third, it would be much better if the council would just follow Texas law. Common sense says that, and Texas has a reputation for being one of the most open states when it comes to transparency. And then the 83rd legislature passed in 2013 two bills directly addressed openness in electronic communications. Senate Bill 1217 allows city council to set up a message board so that you can communicate between each other during in-between meetings without violating the Texas Open Meetings Act. And council, it would be much better if you had proposed an ordinance like that versus shutting down something. I'm not sure what you're shutting down here. And also SB 1368, which guarantees that all electronic communications are subject to the Public Information Act, including those that you exchange in council meetings, whether they be from government property phones or private property phones. All of those are subject to the Information Act. And so those are two ways to handle whatever it is you're trying to do here. I understand that you don't want council members communicating privately between each other. And if you were to narrow this scope, there's a possibility that you could find a way to do that narrowly. But again, it just isn't necessary under Texas law. And 8.4, regarding the signs, I know all about signs at this point, trust me. I engaged with the city in a small little battle about it and hired an attorney. And so you have a way forward now, because at my expense, I paid for an attorney to give you direction should you choose to create an ordinance that is workable and constitutional. I was basically chasing a moving target, and at one point I just got tired. And I talked to the mayor about it and the city administrator both, you know, long before I did that. And ironically, I'm not benefiting from it, but two of the other candidates are. And, you know, they put up 10 or 12 signs each in someone's yard down here. And that's okay. I defended their right to. And, political speech is just political speech, and it should always be protected to the maximum amount possible. I just believe that to the bottom of my core. So thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thank you. Ron Hoskins, 14 Seagrove. First of all, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to say thank you for your decision on not trying to enforce this quote-unquote policy regarding the signs. I do want to point out something that's been a recurring problem over the years and all the time I've been attending meetings, reading information about the city, is that we seem to keep getting the wrong information. It's one thing to keep citizens well informed by giving them proper information. It's one thing not to give them any information. Getting the wrong information is the worst case scenario. And in many cases, that's what's kind of happened here. I did on the 21st receive a memorandum, and in that memorandum it states about the April 8, 2013 meeting that City Council reviewed and discussed the policy at their meeting and let it stand as written. Now, City Council's role is to adopt resolutions or adopt city policy. And ordinarily that's done with the resolution. It's not done ordinarily by unanimous consent when the mayor says, is everybody okay with this? And nobody says anything. Unanimous consent is used for something, well, to give you a quick example, adjourning the meeting, for example. The chair may say, unless anybody objects, we will adjourn. Nobody objects, you adjourn. Otherwise, you're not officially adjourned. So that's not exactly right that they let it stand as written. And it's not also correct that he had the opportunity to make changes to city code regulations to address the campaign signs in that meeting. In order to change the city code, you have to put an ordinance out, and that ordinance needs to be published in advance. That was not done for this April 8th meeting. Furthermore, the policy itself addresses our section 74.341, where it's taking personal signs and trying to apply political signs to this ordinance. So what you're basically doing is you're taking existing code and extending it. Section 74.341 carries a penalty with it, and that penalty is paperwork. It's actually in section 2, or chapter 2, rather, or section 2 of our city code, which, since this is a zoning regulation, puts a fine for up to $2,000 for a violation. Therefore, I mean, I would make the argument very easily that you cannot change the rules of the policy. It has to be done with an ordinance. In fact, the law states that any enactment that regulates persons or property and imposes a fine for violations must be in a form of an ordinance. This requirement is based on the principle that there must be a printed law and citizens must have some notice that is in effect before they can be subject to a fine. What I just read to you comes straight out of Chapter 7, Ordinances and Resolutions, which is from the Council Member and Mayor's Handbook, 2013, published by TML. It also states that a resolution generally states a position or policy of the city, and what they're trying to do here is to differentiate between when a resolution is in order and when an ordinance is in order. And what happened on that April 8th meeting was neither. In other words, I don't believe the policy as it was written was never passed by council to begin with. And it's also improper to add additional penalties for something that's not specifically stated in code. But aside from that, section 74.341 is in violation of state law, but I'm not going to go into detail about that. But I would encourage city council, and it won't be this one tonight, because the only real way to do it is through an ordinance, and there's no ordinance on the agenda right now. So my recommendation would be, maybe at the next meeting, but do come up with an ordinance that is effective, that is fair. And lastly, I would once again like to thank you for your decision on not enforcing this policy, or if it even is a policy. I can tell you this. Thank you.
Chuck Hayes, 122 Meadow Lawn. I kind of feel out of line. I'm here to compliment. I wanted to compliment our police chief and his officers for the support we've gotten at the Shore Acres Recreation Association Pier. They have helped us many times with people who are trespassing, which is a non-member, helping to identify non-members. And in general, the general overall appearance of the pier in the parking lot is better when we have nothing but members parking there. The non-members that park there seem to not care where they put their trash, and our members do care. And I just wanted to compliment our entire police staff.
Thank you, sir.
James Hedges, 2 Shore Acres Circle. I concur with Chuck.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate that, Ms. Bell.
Donnie been a while. Only 2 things. I know we have heavy trash pickup once a month, but we have had such a wetter, cooler winter and spring. And there's a lot of debris. I'm not talking washing machines. I'm talking branches and trees and things that could be mulch. And I was wanting to see maybe just one time only we could have a cleanup, green up like we used to where I mulch. People would take it down and get their debris mulch on that. And then this is another one that has bothered me for quite a while. We have a house on Baywood that has been vacant since Ike, and it's been sold twice. And the person now that has it, I feel, even though he put mini blinds up a couple of weeks ago to hide the all the debris inside, he's using it as a storage facility for his business. It's been 8 years. Come on, we need to see if we can address that. I don't know what code we use for a building, but I don't know if there's anything in there that if a building permit or a remodeling permit is taken out, then maybe there should be a time limit given to show reasonable progress on fixing the structure. Because right now, it's sitting there vacant after 8 years. You know? And it will probably still be sitting there. So I don't know whether it would take an ordinance or if there's something in the building code that would address this situation. But we appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, ma'am, please.
My name is Alicia McCarty, 506 Baywood Street. I'm here to address water issues that I have. I've been dealing with them for almost 4 years since I've lived here. I've called our mayor more than once and left a message. I've sent numerous emails. I've been told that there's other pressing issues involved. I've spoken to the city administrator and gotten nowhere. I've left messages for him and don't get returned phone calls. I don't know what else is so pressing when I have photos of my meter that don't match what's on my bill. The numbers are nowhere near. I've got fluctuating usages every few months and the tens of thousands difference in gallons. For example, in February, one of the coldest years of the month, I used 16,000 gallons. But in March, I only used 3,000 gallons. Makes no sense to me. I've been trying to get resolution for a long time now. I get blown off. I've contacted the TCDQ. I've contacted the PCU. I'm not going away. Somebody needs to return my phone calls, my emails. I've called the public works guy, Victor, who reads my meter, left me a message today because I'm going to be present for my meter reading since it's in my neighbor's fenced backyard. And I was told that if I want to see my meter, I just need to go back there. By our lovely public works director, I have it on video. I'll be happy to show anybody who'd like to see it. His response to me was completely uncalled for. I need some resolution. I'm not going away, and I'll take it even further to the media if I have to. It makes no sense at all. And I have my entire water usage history I can bring. I can bring it all. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Next. Okay. We're going to move on to item 7.0, administrative reports. 7.1, city administrator David Stahl, is your activity report.
Good evening. We've got a few changes in solid works. We have a new boom mower operator. Our goal was to get two or three additional folks trained on operating the mower. Blower's directors adopted a policy of keeping it moving 4 days a week. So Monday through Friday, we intend to have the mower out, attempting to keep ahead of our rapidly growing grass in the ditches. We also have sent another employee to the animal control officer training, the basic class, and it was well received by the employee, and we look forward to improving our skills in handling the animals, both domestic and wild, in the city. Our auditor has had some delays in producing the audit. As it relates to the federal single audits, we have large grants, some of which have come to a close, and with additional paperwork as part of that process, they're now finalizing that. We've now scheduled the presentation of the budget to council for Tuesday, May 26th. That is the second meeting that we moved from Monday to Tuesday, so that's a normal council meeting night, May 26th. This last week, I attended my biannual public fund investment act training. That's a required training for the funds that I handle for the city. And Mr. Ray Dodd in the public works department has resigned to accept another position. And so we'll have a yet another vacancy in Public Works. And Republic Services continues to let us down on heavy trash pickup. But as I had told council previously, we've located an alternate service is available on a limited basis, but they have come out and they have collected about half of what was put out this last month. And they'll be here again this week and finish that up just in time for another first Monday heavy pickup. And we'll just continue to use them. The plan was to use them to lighten the load so that Republic could get ahead of it. But in this case, it may just be that they are what's doing the work. But at least we have some forward progress on getting heavy material picked up. This week, they are be bringing not only the picker truck, but the picker truck will be towing a trailer so that they have added capacity so they can be more efficient and have shorter lifts for certain materials that they've already surveyed in the city. And that's the report.
Thanks, sir. And then on item 7.2, monthly financial report, Mr. Stahl.
Good evening. In your packet is the financial report. You'll see that general fund revenue is nearly $1 million. Our revenue over expenditures were ahead by $324,977.43. So that's a positive trend. I would then, and that is at the end of March. That's March 31st numbers. In our checking account, the general fund balance at the end of March is $571,659.22, and our utility fund, $27,647.97. Our Texas CDBG Community Block Development Grant funds at the end of March was $100,576.59. Since then, we have made the retainage payment to RMB Group, who did the water and wastewater projects for us. Their retainage was a little more than $99,000. That leaves us with about $1,000 in the CDBG fund, which will be equal to our final balance as we close out those projects. It's been a long road, and we're finally bringing those to closure. Our text pool account at the end of March balance was $595,830.68. Our certificates of deposit that we have at a maturity value of $255,852. Our property tax collections are very good. In March, we have total dispersed collections to the city of $825,937.30. Our budgeted tax revenue is $850,618.81, so we're only about $25,000 short of the budgeted amount, so that's very good. I added an additional page. I got a sneak peek at the net assets of the audit. It isn't related to the portion we're still working on and finalizing, so I did able to get some numbers to share with you this evening. You'll find in your packet a color chart. This shows our cash investments, our capital assets, our other assets for a total. Total is the blue line on the top chart, total assets, and the red line at the bottom is our total liabilities. You can see that after you take the liabilities out of our total assets, we have gone from running a pretty consistent $3 million in net assets that jumped up in the end of 2013 to $6.4 million. And at the end of this last fiscal year, our net assets are $10 million. So we've gone up multiples, about 300% of where we were right at the time of Ike is a significant time crunch there. I was asked the question, has the city ever issued bonds? We've issued a number of bonds. The last set of 20 bonds, I put a copy on the back. We issued bonds, 20 bonds between 1966 and 1997. This is the last coupon that was paid off in 1997. The city also, in that time frame, regularly would get tax anticipation revenue loans. Notes that would allow us to pay our bills during the first 3 months of each fiscal year.
until the property tax came in, and fortunately it's been a long time since we've had to do that. And that's the financial report.
Thank you, Mr. Stahl.
Mayor, I just have a question. As far as the, I know we were having some issues with the, some misunderstanding with sales tax revenue into the city where we had an increase. Is that all now worked out?
Yes, and I must have got the pages stuck together. The sales tax just came right before that chart. Right after the property tax. Our sales tax revenue for the month of March was $5,330.66. That's the general. We have a road maintenance sales tax of $1,332.67. Both of those are running 13% below what it was last year. That is the new adjusted number. We're actually going to be on budget. The budget was set very conservatively because we couldn't understand why the sales tax had gone up significantly. And as you may recall, discussion council and audience may not know, the comptroller found an error in reporting and they took that money back. So we just ended up back where we thought we should be in the first place. So that was, we did not count any chickens without eggs.
Thank you.
Any councilman questions? I'm moving on to item 8.0 business, 8.1 consideration of approval invoices. The council has time to go over the invoices. I entertain a motion.
I make a motion.
Thank you, Alderman Snell. Have a second.
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Moore. Any questions from council? All those approved?
Aye.
Against? Ayes have it. Moving on to item 8.2, discussion and action to approve a plan for soliciting volunteer contributions to benefit city parks and authorized by resolution number 2015-118. Alderman Butler.
Yes, sir. Thank you. This was something that that we passed in August of 2013. There was a lot of question about how we were going to do it and what would be the best way to do it. After when we approved it and passed it, we were going to wait until I believe it was the next our next fiscal year before we started to give us time to get this computer set up, get everything going. We tried to run it at that point. It didn't work. The software would not accept what we were trying to do to it. I don't remember all the different reasons or explanations as to why not. I can let David speak to that. And so I sat down with David several times about, well, what can we do and how can we do it? And there was a discussion David and I had about maybe doing a mandatory thing. And I said, well, that's not a donation at that point if we put $2 attached to a water bill. So we kind of kicked it around a few times. He was going to talk to the software company. 2014 rolled around. I had a little heart episode. And to be honest, I just dropped the ball from there. And I just kind of forgot. Didn't think a thing about it again until somebody brought it up at 2 weeks ago at the council meeting. So I wanted to put it back on here and see if there was anything that we could do, any way that we could do it. We've talked about a quarterly type deal. We've talked about, maybe a PayPal type thing or something. So anything that we can come up with to make this happen. It's not that it's the software and our billing system won't accept the number, and I'll let David explain why, but it just won't do it. So, David, do you?
Yeah, they do voluntary contributions on utility bills for a number of jurisdictions, but they're all at a fixed rate. So, like for volunteer fire departments or EMS, it's $2, $3, $5 on the bill, and you check a box. They use that check box then for that allocation and take that back out. It was having a variable number that they couldn't cope with, and how they would segregate that from the other funds, and how we would end up where someone wrote a check with that number included in it that was a variable number, and then perhaps go arrears on the following bill. And the way that the accounting software applies credits, it goes to the water bill first, it goes to the sewer bill second, it goes to the trash next, and then it goes to late fees next, and there wasn't a way that they could allocate that back out and not have us have folks claim that extra money was actually on the utility bill. So they they were unwilling to do that and take responsibility for how that separated out. Also understanding that contributions to the Parks and Recreation are in a different fund. So the money had to transfer out of the utility fund, if it was on that check, to the general fund. And that was a difficulty that they had, which was discussed with, at the time it was Matt Weber was the mayor, and with, of course, Councilman Bunker.
Can we talk about putting an envelope in there or something, too? And that raised another issue.
Yeah, the first thought was to put a, like a self-addressed envelope that could be used like you have for church, where you have a donation. When we looked at the cost of that versus the projected, we had a very low budget number in there for the program and for what revenue would generate. It looked like more money would go to envelopes than going to the parks. And so that was dropped. I think the most practical of the options that we have looked at is to have a single 8.5 by 11 sheet, just like our utility bill, that has the same perch that the utility bill has double perch, and have it pre-printed for 3 months, like January, February, March, and it would be like a coupon. We could then put it in quarterly, and the resident could then tear off and send back with a separate check that goes to the to that fund. And then we have a complete separation. It would be clean from an accounting perspective of what the money was for and where it was going, and it wouldn't get commingled with the utility funds. That would depend on someone at least 2 out of 3 months retaining that coupon to use it again. But those that are interested in making a regular contribution would probably keep pretty good track of that.
Well, that's a good idea. What's the cost involved in that? Is that very large cost involved in
that? No, that's really small in that it's a single sheet. Our stuffing equipment will allow that. Quarterly helps because it reduces significantly the number of them. But we also have other items that go in the utility bills on a regular basis. Like in May, we send out the car sheets for reentry if there's a storm or emergency. And so, like, May is already taken. And so it would allow us to also intersperse those. There are community events that we often stuff with the utility bills, like cook-offs. And there isn't any reason that the side, the back side of those same coupons couldn't have the cook-off information, which is really timely for the 30 days of the bill. And so you tear a third of that off after that month, and it probably wouldn't have a big impact. In that case, the cost would be negligible because we'd be using, the paper is a little more than regular paper because it would be perforated, but I think that would be very useful and helpful.
What about a PayPal?
You know, we could look at some options for PayPal. I just need to find out what restrictions, if any, there are for government use. You know, we've discovered it's very difficult for the city to use things like credit cards, with the banking agreements. Somebody personally has to be responsible for all of those things and not the city. If we can get a PayPal account for the city, and perhaps there may be a mechanism we could do that so that we have an arm's length relationship like we have with Friends of Heron Park, to get that set up. I have set them up for nonprofits. That's really nice because not only can you do single contributions and it'd be a variable amount, but you also have the ability with PayPal to have it set up as a subscription so that it would debit the same amount every month until you cancel it. We get some flexibility, but that would require someone going on to the website and selecting that option, and we'd still need to promote it, you know, in our Trader Shorts or other ways to.
See, and I've looked into like the FundMe type deals like they do for charities and for fundraisers, and while it's a great idea, the fees are pretty cheap with that kind of stuff. They want to take up to 20, 25, 30% of what you collect, and I don't know that it's going to be more going to them than there is to us and something like that.
Perforated paper sounds pretty enticing, the fact that not everybody does the internet, not everybody does computers. You know, it seems to be not the most economical way to do it. We can look at other options.
It's certainly the easiest to track and have a handle on as to where the money came from, what it's intended for, and where it goes. We've already set up, unfortunately for 2 years, we've had set up the two separate in and out account for that. We just haven't received any nor had any to spend.
So there's nothing that would preclude someone from tomorrow just coming up here and writing a check and saying, I want this going to the parks because the account is already there?
Yeah, anytime.
Okay.
I'll take checks tonight.
For now.
Preparation is probably the best way.
For now, I do believe. Because, yeah, GoFundMe, it's like 20%.
Yeah. Okay. It's your show, Mr. Bunker.
Well.
That's what you'd like to do.
Yeah.
There's not really a vote for them to get it. That's why you want to set up. We just go call it.
Doesn't have to be voted on. I mean, I take the direction. It's on there. If it's consensus of council, if that's what you want to do, I'll get some forms made and we'll start putting them in.
Mr. Smell, is that your consensus?
I agree.
Mr. Moore?
I'm fine with that.
Mr. Bunker, we know. Mr. Adams?
Mr. Wheels?
Good with that.
You have your direction, Mr. Stahl.
Thank you very much.
All right.